Welcome back, folks, to episode 30, number 30 of the Nintendo Wirecast. I am one of your hosts, Amiibo Jason, here in very rainy Waukesha near Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And as always, I am with my brother from another mother who is off in a far distant land in a very nicer looking outside than I have here, Hero TJ. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Happy to be on the podcast with you, brother.
Ah, man. Welcome to another fun-filled day in quarantine. Well, at least for me.
Yeah, I definitely do not envy you. And my heart goes out to all my American compatriots.
I did get to go out today, though, briefly. So other fans of the podcast might know, or on Twitter if you follow me. My wife, happily candied, she is pregnant. Today was her second ultrasound, the heartbeat ultrasound. So I got to go up to the hospital door and then be promptly told to leave, that I'm not allowed in the hospital with her due to the quarantine. Man. So unfortunately, I was not there for that moment. They were nice enough to let her take a video of the heartbeat. So I got to see the baby and hear the baby, but unfortunately I could not be there in person.
Yeah. Strange times.
It's a bummer. I think things are just odd. Again, I understand it. Am I upset about it? Not at anybody at the hospital.
Right.
Like, not at all. I get why they're doing things the way they are. Where I am in Wisconsin, we're lucky enough where it's not as crazy as other states. So I don't know if you know this, TJ, in the U.S., there's now over 1 million cases of this stuff. There was 1 million cases that were confirmed. I'm sure there's a lot more. So I get why they're taking the precautions, but it was kind of a bummer. I did get to hang out in the car, though, so that was fun. That was my day. There was really no video game playing by me. Happily, Candida and my daughter are still hardcore into Animal Crossing. I have not turned it on in about 2 days. But I'm curious, how have you been spending your last week since we talked?
I'm on the opposite side of the clock for you, so there hasn't been any video game happening yet today. It's still morning time. However, my normal morning ritual is I'll drop my daughter off at school, I'll go run for a little bit, and I'll come home just in time for my son to be like, "Daddy, it's time to get back into Animal Crossing." So my younger brother messaged me and saying, "Hey, we have the exact same amount of hours in Animal Crossing, 160.
Oh my God.
And I laughed because I know about 100 of those are my son.
Yeah.
And what usually happens is we'll start playing the game together and we'll do all of our daily rituals. And then I'll shake the controller, he'll take the lead, and he'll run around the town doing whatever. And we've also learned he is an incredible hoarder. So we cordoned off the island.
Yeah.
So that everyone kind of has their own little spot. Yeah. Now that my kids can terraform, they have the potential to wreak havoc upon everything. Now, I have no hopes of ever attaining 5-star status. That's just not in the
cards
for me.
Even Happily Candied is not at 5 stars, by the way.
Oh,
she's
at
4.
Hers is glorious.
I know. So that, it's crazy.
That definitely affirms that I have no chance. But I gave all of them a really big chunk and said, "Hey, do whatever you want. Terraform here.
Yeah.
I just want to prevent a situation where we have no more ponds or rivers or ability to catch certain fish or bugs." And so I gave him this massive chunk. He's got a bigger chunk than anybody. And it is literally covered every little game square with a bug or a fossil or a fish. And he's paid off his loan a few times, but I keep encouraging him to sell some of the stuff to make some money. But he's not about that. He's about making every single animal his pet. Although the game is teaching my kids some things about economics.
Yeah.
Because he caught something that the museum didn't have. And I told him, donate that to the museum. It's really rare and we don't have it yet. And he's like, "Are you going to give me some bells?"
Oh my God.
I was like, "Yeah, okay. I'll give you bells." And then he shot a balloon the other day, yeah, and inside was a gold nugget.
Okay.
So anyone who's familiar with the game knows that's one of the more rare items, and I did need the gold nugget to do one of my recipes. And I said, can I have that? He goes, yeah, you can have it, but I'm going to need some money. And not in the game, Dad, in real life.
Oh, dang. That took a completely different turn.
I know. He realized that he had something of value,
yeah,
and that he assigned something that was valuable to him. I'm like, son, that's impressive.
Yeah. See, my daughter takes after Lauren with Animal Crossing. Looking at her town, it's very, very thought through in comparison to mine, which is just, obviously, I have a city that I completely thought through, but everything else is just like, you know, I want this to be there, this to be there, Godzilla goes here. But Eva has like a garden. She has an orchard that she's growing for all the different fruit trees. Very, very similar to Happily Candied's. So yeah, we have kind of the opposite issue with hoarding, where everything has to have its right place on her island. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's been a few days. Really, the only game I've been playing has been Ring Fit. I'm back on Ring Fit, I think, out of pure necessity. I'm not getting out of the house nearly as much. It's cold out in Wisconsin for the most part. And the days that aren't cold, it's very rainy. So I'm kind of just stuck here doing anything I can to not get very fat.
Setting world records in Ring Fit rhythm challenges?
You know, not so much anymore. I did do one yesterday where I beat you again, but you haven't played in like 20 days, it said, for that mode. But it's fun. I mean, I think the biggest disappointment about Ring Fit right now is its lack of availability. There are so many people that hit me up on, so we have a Ring Fit Facebook page, which I haven't touched in the longest time, but there's an active community there. People are going and commenting daily, and people IM me all the time asking, can I get a copy of the game? Where can I get a copy of the game? People are price gouging this thing to high heaven. Yeah. So it's kind of disappointing because this is the perfect time for Nintendo to have massive stockpiles of this.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's like the only Nintendo Switch game that you can't digitally download.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
So even if they did like sell the apparatus separately, I'm sure you could get it because they wouldn't be selling out of rings.
But yeah,
it makes sense that the game is obviously bundled with the things that you need to be able to play it. Still, not being able to get it is a big problem for people.
I think there is another game for those of you wanting something. It's called Rhythm Boxing. It is very reminiscent of Wii Fit to a certain degree, but it's mostly punching, obviously, in boxing. It does get the heart rate going. I did a review of fitness boxing on the website a while back, and it's fun. I mean, if you're looking for a way to get sort of in shape to a certain degree, it's not as robust as Ring Fit. I'll just
put that out there now. Not to be a detractor, but I did try that, and it almost like immediately bounced off me. Like I didn't have any problems or criticisms. I was like, you know what? I'd rather just throw punches myself. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think it's better than nothing.
I think so.
My biggest issue with that game was a lack of music. There was like, I think like 20 tracks in total, and they get very, very old, very, very quick. But yeah, Ring Fit, man, let's see, when I got back on, it was at least 30 days since I played last, and I was sore the next day. Just so sore. The hardest one for me is the above the head squeezing.
Because
it just burns your arms. And I play on level, what is it, 40 or 30? The highest level they have.
Yeah, I think that's 30.
So it's like 40 reps above your head, and you're just, it feels like jello. So right now, today, it's my pecs, my arms, very, very sore. But I'm not
quitting. You know what I started doing on that one, Jason? This is... I wouldn't call it cheating because you still have to work, but it moves it to a different muscle group. I would lay on my back.
Okay.
And do that one so that it changes. So I'm flat on the ground.
Yeah.
My arms are still extended. And then it's not like pure deltoid punishment.
Yeah.
Like you still use your delts, but you're also incorporating other muscle groups. It becomes more of an upper body cooperative effort because it's able to recruit more muscles in the area. So it does make it easier, but you're still working, if that makes sense.
I did get to a point where I just couldn't do this anymore, so I just moved it down here.
Yeah.
I mean, I was still moving to a certain degree. I know I was cheating to a certain level too, but
it's not cheating because you're still doing it, but that's what I love about the game, because that is actually the most realistic thing of any RPG I've ever played. Like, you're incapable of continuing to perform the move because you're fatigued. Yeah. So what you would do in real life is, would you just quit and let the bad guy kill you? No, you would modify.
Yeah.
And so you did. And you just do what you can do to continue to get through. You're still using your own body on this weapon to be able to fight the bad guys. So I think that's just such an awesome thing about the game. I wish that I could play a game like Dragon Quest XI. Yeah.
I was thinking about that last night. I want to know if there's a way to modify the controller to be able to play a traditional RPG with it. If you've never played Ring Fit, I'm not going to say there's spoilers in Ring Fit. I'm not going to give away like the big twist ending or anything, even though it's Ring Fit, for God's sakes. But from a story perspective, this isn't winning any writing awards for the most part. It's cheesy. It's lame. It's very effective. But at the same time, too, it's not, again, it's not designed for the story.
They nailed what they were going for.
Exactly.
But they were not going for something like a Dragon Quest.
Yeah. So what I want is, I want Square Enix to release a patch for like Final Fantasy VII or Final Fantasy VIII, Dragon Quest XI, just let me select things by squeezing in, maybe do some like super quick attacks, or even like a dedicated RPG that you have to move, but it's not like in this workout realm. You're not fighting dumbbells, you're not fighting yoga mats. I would love that, because for me, what kills the time the most is RPGs. So since I've been in quarantine, my life has been completing games I never had the opportunity to complete. So I think I mentioned to you I played Final Fantasy IV. I beat that. Loved it. Final Fantasy I, I went through for the very first time. Great game. Loved it. I mean, I'm going through, Crisis Core, I think, which is on PS Vita. I know it's not a PlayStation podcast, but it is what it is. But I would just, I'd kill for just a more robust fitness-based RPG.
Yeah, me too. I think that they really tapped into something, and even as I was playing Ring Fit, I kept thinking to myself, this is for me.
Yeah.
The two things that I enjoy doing recreationally more than anything are video games and training. And they bundled it into one package, and I just don't know how many other people felt like I felt. And like you said, the game is professionally campy. Like, they purposefully go out of their way to make it a little bit cheeseball, which has its own level of charm, but also I could see that pushing people away and turning a lot of people off. And I mean, Ring, the character in the game that's represented by the Pilates ring that you use, isn't going to be pulling any people in. I had to mute that character as fast as I could.
I moved it to the female voice.
And how do you like that?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, at all. I thought, because typically, I think there's some psychology behind it, that men are more inclined to listen to a female assistant, like virtual assistant, compared to a male. So, again, psychology, I'm sure there's more to it than just that. But that being said, I hated it. I can't stand the voice actress they got for it, and I apologize if you're listening, voice actress. It's not your fault. I couldn't do it.
No, I did not actually play with her, but I did hear her when they advertised that they were doing it, and I noticed that there's not a whole lot of a difference in the sound, the timbre, or the pitch.
Yeah.
Because the guy... The male voice actor, I will say, I think is fantastic in terms of his performance and his delivery, but I don't like listening to it. So that's a me thing, not a performance thing. But the way that he like cries out victory in like five or six different ways is really good. But then sometimes he says things like, your sweat is so shiny and beautiful.
Yeah.
And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh my goodness, I need to figure out how to turn this off.
You don't want to hear the uno dos uno.
No, I hate that one the most because I like that they vary up the count.
Yeah.
But when they count uno dos
over and over.
Only, yeah, that is the only one that they repeat ad nauseum every time with no break.
Just give me a break on it.
just something. Say something else.
Especially when you're on the harder modes where you're doing 50 reps.
Yeah, you listen to that 50 times or 60 times sometimes on some of those moves. You hear uno dos 60 times in a row. I'm like, okay, all right, you're done, Ring. I have to not do that move again, or I need to quiet you down. And it took me a little bit of I got through my first playthrough before I even figured out how to mute the voice. And then I noticed on Twitter a lot of people were complaining that they couldn't, and they were just unaware of how to.
Yeah.
But Nintendo does bury it a little bit.
I do have one last thing on Ring Fit before we leave this. The rhythm mode that was added, I'm still playing every day I play. I start off with rhythm mode just to kind of get the blood pumping.
It's a good warm up.
I would love to see a company like Ubisoft incorporate this rhythm mode into Just Dance with a robust library of music. Because the 6 or 7 songs that Nintendo gave us, well, most of them are decent, are not fun to play over and over and over and over again. Number one, they're short for the most part. Yeah. I think the longest one's like 4 minutes, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't stand Jump Up Superstar, so I'm never playing that game, that song, ever. I just can't. I can't do it. And there's only so many times I can play the Zelda and Splatoon music before I go nuts. My go-to has been the original Wii Fit music because it's nostalgic to me to a certain degree.
But yeah, me too.
I'd love to see Nintendo make a dedicated game. I'll pay you $60, license some good music, like just good poppy techno based beats that I can dance and move and groove to and burn, because I want to see more from this Ring Fit Ring. I really do. And I think Nintendo, with this pandemic going on, I think they're going to start utilizing this thing more and more. I think it's kind of put Ring Fit more on the map than it already was.
I'd be tripping over myself to buy that.
Yeah.
Like I could not get that fast enough. But there is one tiny last bit of Ring Fit news, and that is that there was a Tetris 99 theme added, right?
Are you? Yeah, and
am I getting that right?
Yeah, it's Tetris 99,
which I've never played ever in my life.
I played it when it first came out. I never did any of the special modes. They had one for Splatoon. I'm not even sure specifically what it is besides a theme and like music that plays over the top of it, but. Yeah, I mean, I really know nothing about it.
Yeah, same here. So I guess we don't have much to talk about it because I've never played Tetris 99 at all. It doesn't really have much appeal to me, but
it's fun to a certain degree.
I think I'm not good, enough at Tetris. I'm like, I used to think I was good at Tetris. I'm good when I play against the computer.
Yeah.
But when I play against humans, I usually get wrecked.
You should give it a shot. So right off the bat, I mean, if you're decent at Tetris, you'll probably make the top 50. But if you can get anywhere in the top like 15 or 20, you're a god.
I'm not a god. I already know that. My brother surpassed me when he was but a wee lad.
Yeah.
And so after losing like 10 or 15 times in a row to my younger brother, it taught me that, oh, I'm not that great at this game.
This one's all about speed, so you need to be as quick as possible to drop it. So I think that adds kind of a different kind of complexity to
that
it.
That is kind of my style. That's usually why I lose, is because I'm very impatient with Tetris. So
I'm giving you homework. So I expect you to at least play one match of Tetris 99 before our next podcast. I'll do the same. I haven't played it since it came out. So like, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 years now. Let's do that. Let's, Siri. I want to get your opinion on the game.
Okay. It sounds fair. It's been a while. Nintendo Online. I'll give it a go.
So besides Ring Fit, like I said, I'm not really playing a whole lot of anything at the moment. I'm still playing Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Again, has your opinion changed on it at all?
No, it's still a really fun game. I'm excited to see where the story's going to go to a certain degree. I'm not as angry as I was because... And again, this isn't really a spoiler, but for the changes they made, it doesn't take away the game that I already have. which is the original Final Fantasy VII. Happily, Candied and I were talking about this for some time, that this is just giving me a new experience and a new take on something I love. And if it's good, great. If it's bad, I mean, it is what it is. So I'm not gonna stress out too much about it. I'm gonna enjoy the ride, not knowing fully what's coming. And I think that's exciting to a certain degree too. I've played Final Fantasy VII 100 times.
And this is the first time you've played it this way, so it is cool to kind of breathe new life into something familiar that you love.
Yeah, but like I said, besides that, it's been pretty darn quiet. Like I'm working from home, obviously, so that's taking up a big deal of big amount of my time. The wiretap is back to its regular scheduled routine, so I'm doing
you've been killing it with that.
Yeah, I mean, today was the only day where I'm like, I looked at the news and I'm like, this doesn't warrant anything. There's literally nothing worth talking about. But besides
last week there was a lot of surprise news of upcoming updates, and this week was really just the release of said updates. So
which was what? Animal Crossing and Mario Maker 2.
Mario Maker. And I have not had the motivation to boot up Mario Maker yet. Have you?
I've played Animal Crossing, but I think the biggest hurdle for me is I don't own Mario Maker 2 digitally, and I don't want to get up and put the new game card in.
That is a perfectly valid reason. Because
I have Ring Fit in there, and I'm like, I got to take Ring Fit out, and I got to put that somewhere. First world problems.
You're describing the exact reason why I buy all my games digitally. Is if I had to switch the cartridge, I have less motivation to play. Yeah. It sounds like such a stupid thing. For me, it doesn't come from laziness. It actually comes from I just really hate the design of the Switch cartridge. I hate the design of the panel that you have to open up to put the Switch cartridge in and take the Switch cartridge out. That experience is very often enough to make me not want to play. Yeah. My brother's whole collection is physical, and I would try to open up his games because the games still display on your system even if you haven't opened. And without fail, every single time it would say, oh, you need to put that disc in.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh.
And so I took all my game cards and I put them in this handy dandy little case that was designed for them. 16 games in one case. And I lost the case. I lost it in like two solid days. No idea where it was. I found it eventually, but I was having a panic attack. And by the way, before we get into Animal Crossing or Mario Maker, I did forget I am playing one other game. I did buy one new thing, and I bought the $10 DLC for Luigi's Mansion 3.
Oh, yeah. Did you get a chance to play it at all?
So, yeah, we're playing the new mini games, but Scarescraper, how are you supposed to do that? Have you played Scarescraper?
Yeah.
Like, I cannot get close to the amount of ghosts.
You have to have friends online.
Okay.
It's the only way. It is impossible to do yourself.
Got it. So I played with my daughter, and
which I hate.
More wanting to collect everything, like all the coins. Yeah. And I'm like, we gotta go! Yeah. We gotta go now!
Yeah, same. I hate that. I wish that the game could be like slightly scaled so that it could be played with different numbers of people.
Yeah.
But they don't modify it at all that I can tell. Like, you'll get dropped into a level and says, catch 21 ghosts.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if there's four people or if there's one person. You still gotta catch 21 ghosts, and you cannot crawl that entire stage without four people.
Yeah.
Like, three people, if everyone is competent and everyone is on their game, you can do it. But two people, not enough.
Yeah, I mean, they drop time, like little time boosts, but it's like five seconds. I'm like, wow, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
But it's so far, fun. So good. The mini games are fun, though. The mini games are a blast.
They are a blast. I think that alone is worth the price of admission. My kid gets so much real world enjoyment. Like, anytime I start to feel maybe I'm letting my kids play too much games and giving them too much screen time, then they'll flip it on me and be like, they'll take elements from the game and start incorporating it into real life activities. So we are not in quarantine here. I don't say this to rub it in, but we go to the gym a lot.
And
so he gets all the traction balls,
yeah,
the big exercise balls, and we go onto the jiu-jitsu mat, and we're throwing these balls at each other playing the Luigi's Mansion dodgeball. And now we're not playing regular dodgeball. He's making us imagine that we're sucking up the balls and then blasting him out of the vacuums. And it's awakening his imagination and his creativity in a way that is really affirming that video games really do spark a lot of imagination.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we have a full-size, you can kind of see it back there, Luigi's Mansion 3 cutout of Gooigi.
Oh, yeah. Luigi. I love those things.
My daughter likes to chase me around the house with that.
Awesome.
So I was upstairs today. I'm like, Eva, it's time for bed. And I see coming out of the office is just this Luigi stand-up she's hiding behind. But yeah, I mean, it's so far so good. It's a fun game. I think it's a nice family game too. So Lauren, myself, and my daughter, we all play it. So yeah, it's a blast. So I just wanted to make sure that I did mention that I did pick that up.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they add with the next one.
Coming in summer, right?
Yeah, if they stay on track. I'm not exactly sure what the development process is for that game or whether the delay was strategic just to kind of keep it in the news cycle.
Yeah.
Or they needed the time to actually work on it. But they've got a lot in there. That game's pretty packed with content.
Yeah.
So putting more in is exciting. I imagine it's probably more mini games. We already know we get the cosmetic costumes. I don't like that I can't use those costumes whenever I want, though. I wish I could use them in story mode.
I thought we could use them in the mini games, but apparently not.
Nope. And that's the biggest letdown, because we play Scarescraper a lot less than any other mode, because obviously you have to be hooked up online.
So, speaking of updates, I think we already touched on it briefly, but Animal Crossing got its big update, bringing Earth Day, Leaf, Museum Expansion, Red, a big statue with a big old penis.
I was going to mention that because you asked about it last time. It's there.
I was totally shocked they brought that over.
In all its HD glory. It's a piece of artwork, Jason.
I know. I get it's artwork. But again, I've seen too many photos online of people not treating this thing like a piece of artwork.
Thankfully, I've been spared that.
It is front and center in people's towns with very lewd signs, like handmade signs, like sitting right outside front of it.
So what you're saying is Nintendo's going to patch in an update that modifies the David sculpture.
You know, number one, I don't think they would. I mean, it was a new Leaf. They knew what they were getting themselves into. But I think they underestimate the immaturity level of its fan base.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
I have a feeling many people's museums are going to be incomplete. Because does Red ever bring the same piece of art?
I'm not sure. I've only been treated to the Red ship one day.
Got it.
And actually, I learned that... Oh, first of all, I totally, totally cheat to figure out what's art real and not real. I have to look it up because I'm not going to mess... And so he has four items each day that are pieces of art that you can purchase, but you only can purchase one. And my ship had three legit pieces of artwork. So... I realized I could just have me and my kids buy them. So we bought all three legit pieces. So that's a way to kind of circumvent the restriction.
Perfect. I was always under the impression he only had one legit piece of art per day, and the rest of the three were bootleg. But that's good to know.
Yeah, we had three good and one bootleg.
Yeah.
Then it also has some interesting furniture pieces. So
I heard about that too. But no froggy chairs still.
Oh, I guess not. I don't really know.
People are very upset about the non-inclusion of the froggy chair. The exclusion.
Now, of course, my Twitter stream was not spared the froggy chair drama.
Yeah.
But I don't understand it. Is that something you can explain to me? What is the deal with the froggy chair?
It's a chair that's a froggy, and that's all you need to know. But and it's not in the game.
Why do people care? Is it that it's not in the
game?
It's
that it's not in the game. Yeah.
Is it the only piece or something?
It's not the only piece, but for some reason it achieved meme status, and people were very upset when it was not in the game. So part of me feels like Nintendo has a team of people that scours the internet for the memes, and they have a plan for Froggy Chair. They have some events. They have some grand reveal, paid DLC, Froggy Chair extravaganza.
That could be. I have encountered Leaf. I bought a bunch of hedges. Yeah. I planted the hedges. I don't really care about the hedges. I'm glad the hedges are there for people who do care. I got kind of into trying to breed black roses.
Okay.
And I was quite successful at that. But I wanted to then breed gold roses.
Yeah.
Only to discover that it can only be done if you have a gold watering can.
Oh, okay. Which
can only be acquired if you have a 5-star town. So I've lost all hope.
Or just wait till Happily Candied gets it and ask her for the recipe.
Yeah, I guess that's possible. She'd have to craft one for me.
Yeah, she'd do it for a price.
Yeah.
Real world money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how Animal Crossing is for me now. So
yep.
I'm used to that.
So besides that, the museum got an upgrade, obviously, for the art. No Brewster, which is my biggest disappointment so far. Mm. I know he's coming. I know Brewster's coming. Animals in the game have already referenced Brewster with their dialogue, so I'm not concerned about that. And Nintendo, I should probably mention this, they went on record saying that they're hoping to have content for this game rolling out for years. So I'm not expecting there to be any character that has ever been in an Animal Crossing game never making an appearance. Yeah. So I'm sure we're going to see Dr. Shrunk. I'm sure we're going to see
He's DJ the expressions KK. Guy, though, isn't he?
What?
He's the expressions guy.
Yeah, he is. But he was
So he kind of got replaced.
It did get replaced, but I still see him coming back. And Shampoodle got replaced, too.
Yeah.
But I still see her coming back to a certain degree. Lauren and I were talking about this in the car today, that we expect there to be some sort of DLC for the game, maybe paid, maybe not, where you could take like an excursion off the island to a city where all of these big buildings are, where different shops are. Maybe Reese and Cyrus would be there. Shampoodle would be there. Different stores, things like that. But I'm expecting more and more stuff to come out before E3. I keep saying E3, like it's going to happen before time.
Yeah. Do you still feel like the game holds as much interest to you, or
nope.
Are you kind of slow losing steam?
Yeah, I'm losing steam. So
yeah, same here.
Lauren has put in like 250 hours into the game so far. Her mom, probably even more. So I'm happy for them, but I don't have the eye for detail that they do. I don't have the desire to make an absolutely perfect town. I just don't. So the most I did was the city aspect, which took hours and hours and hours to get my city up and running. And I think that was enough for me. I'm looking for more content. I'd kill for a mini game. So when people come to the island, it's just you run in circles. And I know people are super creative and they can make their own mini games, but just give me something Nintendo made where somebody can come to my island and we can do something together.
Yeah, same.
That isn't running in a circle.
Yeah, give me that dig game. Basically, anything off of the 3DS.
Yeah.
What on Tortimer's Island was it Tortimer's Island?
Yeah.
That was just really fun way to be able to interact with other people, and this one, I still like it. We still log in almost every day, and we still do our stuff, and there are still things in the game that I want to do. I like completing the museum.
Yeah.
I like catching the seasonal bugs and fish and that kind of stuff. And there is more that I want out of it, but I'm not motivated enough to time travel, and the game put too many limitations on me being able to acquire the things that I want.
Yeah.
So I guess if it was more important to me, I would just rejigger my clock and make it more possible to acquire all the things that I want to achieve the goals for my town. But I just don't feel like it.
You know, I'm thinking about completely axing my town and making a southern hemisphere town instead. So the seasons are reversed.
Oh,
just for my friends. And
that is smart.
So we could just have different things going on. I haven't seen anybody do that yet. So if you get bored, you can come to my town, do fishing, get completely different fish. Mm. So I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
That is a neat idea.
But I need something to keep my attention. The last time I went on was a few days ago, and I went on for like a whopping 10 minutes. And that was about it.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a great game. It is. But I am more of a story-driven kind of guy for the most part. So I find myself just pulling out my PS Vita and picking up a JRPG.
I like that you can terraform, but I hate how you terraform. It's like I miss about four times before I actually do what I'm trying to do. Yeah. And that really bothers me. I think the precision of it is very lacking. Although it's like Nintendo gave me the keys to the kingdom, but there's 1,000 doors you have to walk through. And
yeah. And they have that amazing tool in your house where you can go into the grid mode
and that's exactly what I'm easily talking move about. Stuff. Like, so, let me... And the limitations in moving houses and the museum and all of that stuff, I understand that it completely ruins the sense of realism if you could instantaneously move one of these and they want you to have a day where things are like cordoned off. Hey, yeah. We're going to build a bridge here, but it won't be done till tomorrow. I get that. But when you're trying to plan something over time and you're trying to build a play session, you only have a certain amount of time to play, it's just an obstacle to my enjoyment.
Yeah.
It makes... And then when I set it up and it wound up not being how I want, like my museum, I just relocated to put next to Nooks, so they're kind of like... And not Nooks, what do you call it? The residence center. So that they're kind of like the centerpieces of the town. And I'm off by one square. Just one square off from my paths to align. And now I have to pay another 50,000 bells if I want to move it again. And then I have to go through all the trouble of building everything again. Where I really feel like they should just let me do what I do in my house.
And yeah.
Tick it down one block. It's such a simple little notion, but that's just not the way that the game is built right now. What I really need is some Nintendo-themed items, I think.
Agreed. Yeah. I think this is
Mario stuff.
This is the first Animal Crossing game in some time that didn't have fortune cookies available right away. At least that I can remember. New Leaf had Nintendo items pretty early.
Yeah.
If not day one.
I think New Leaf did, because that was my day one mission.
Yeah.
And I just kept dedicating myself to the fortune cookies and collecting all of those awesome Metroid and Pikmin, Mario and Zelda items. I need that now. Like, I need some sort of purpose or goal. I like that the game allows you to play at your own pace and design your own fun, but for me, I kind of it's almost a little too relaxed of a pace,
because
I can't do enough of what I want to do in a single session, and it in some ways discourages me from really doing anything meaningful. So I just run around and hit villagers with my net and play tag with my kids
like you do game. Yep.
I really don't know that the game would have had anything to offer me if I wasn't playing with my kids.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the most transformative aspect of the experience for people who've been playing Animal Crossing for a while.
Yeah.
But it also is, for me, the thing that keeps me going back to it is that they want to keep doing it and they want to keep playing. But as far as my own personal motivation, it didn't really take too long. I was way, way more engaged for way longer with New Leaf.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think you mentioned this on a different episode of the podcast at one point, but having the ability to play your Nintendo Switch online games in the game would be a fun just way to have friends over, like to your town and go to your house and whip out Mario Brothers or something like that.
That would be awesome.
I mean, Nintendo's giving these games away to people that pay online, and you can't travel to another island, at least online. I think you can locally. But... Yeah, just something to do would be great. Like I said, I think the game right now is fantastic for people that have the eye for design and perfectionists. So, again, happily candied perfectionist. Me, I'm obviously not a perfectionist. I'm just not. So I'm waiting for more content to come out. So I have full faith in Nintendo to keep dropping it.
Yeah, Nintendo Wire did report on the game having, like, really, really high critic reviews on Metacritic.
Yeah.
And then a surprisingly high number of negative reviews amongst the users. I wouldn't say it's disproportionate, but it's almost like the game is a must own for critics, but users, I'm looking at it right now, there's like just about 2,000 positive reviews and 2,000 negative reviews. So it's like 50-50. Yeah. And as I scroll through, like what most people complain about is the multiplayer, where the people who are not the first resident feel like they've got kind of a limited experience,
yeah,
where they can't do as much as the first resident. A lot of them are actually wrong about some of their criticisms, where you can do things as, like, they think, oh, I can't terraform because I'm not the main villager. I'm here to tell you, you can, because my kids do it all the time, and they're the second players. Maybe you do have a diminished experience in some ways, but I don't know. I think that the multiplayer aspect is kind of awesome. I don't really know. I can't think of anything that I do in the game that my kids cannot also do, but a lot of it is initiated by my character.
Yeah.
So if my character does something when they're not playing, all of a sudden, bam, they just have it.
Yeah.
So that, I guess that might be something that bothers people who are into the, quote, story of Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I mean, I have no major issues with the game. I think the biggest thing for me is I play Pocket Camp. And in Pocket Camp, you can put these items down and your animals interact with them. So there's a teacup ride that's both in Pocket Camp and New Horizons. On Pocket Camp, a free-to-play gacha game, the animals get in the teacups and spin around.
Oh.
In New Horizons, they don't go near it. Same, there's an outdoor bath item. It's identical. The same item in New Horizons and in Pocket Camp. In Pocket Camp, your animals get in the hot tub and are just like laying back, like, ah. Like, they're really enjoying it. Two animals can get in the hot tub.
That's cool.
New Horizons? I had no idea that you couldn't do the same thing, so I put the hot tub out. I'm like, why aren't they using it? And I found out they just don't. So I'd like to see more interactivity with the items, at least mirror it to what I can do in the free gacha mobile game. Because
right.
I feel like there should be, I don't know, more features in this $60 game I just bought than what's in the free gacha game.
I wonder which one is more lucrative for Nintendo.
You know, that's a good question. I would guess Pocket Camp.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me to find.
I know people who have spent more in microtransactions in Pocket Camp than the full game of New Horizons.
Wow.
But yeah, I'd like to see it for sure. I know the numbers aren't even close to like Fire Emblem Heroes, but I know it's up there to a certain degree.
It is. There's always been this tradition of limited interactivity with the different items and furniture pieces that you have. Like, you could sit in chairs and lay on beds, but anytime you can interact with an object other than that, it's always like a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Like the punching bags. I've got a ton of punching bags in my house, and you could punch them. And if you have a ball, you can bounce it. But then there are some things that you would think that you could interact with that you can't.
Yeah.
And I do wish, I understand the complication of having unique animations with all of these things, like the teacups, for example.
Yeah.
If your villager could get on the teacup, then they need to somehow animate you on a teacup. But it would be amazing if you could interact with every object. Maybe that's the future of Animal Crossing, is giving you, letting you do whatever it is that each item does. Because now you could, most things that have on and off switches, you can turn them on and off. Like, I have a treadmill in my house. I can't get on it, but I can turn it on. So there's something, and they definitely have put thought into it, but there's a clear delineation between things that you can just look at and things that you can interact with.
Yeah.
I set up a fighting ring in my town, and you can get onto the ring like it's a bed, because I guess it is a bed as far as the game is concerned, but it's a double length, so you could kind of roll.
Yeah.
And my kid will get on one side, I get on the other side, and we can't roll from one bed to the other, but we can roll into the middle of the bed, and so it kind of looks like we're banging into each other while we're trying to I guess, roll towards the end of the limitation of the bed. I don't know if that makes sense. And it looks like we're having a wrestling match, sort of, which is fun and novel for about 2 seconds. And then we're off on doing something else. But if part of the fun of the game and collecting furniture was seeing what you could do with the furniture, I think that would really elevate the experience.
Yeah, and again, in Pocket Camp, pretty much every item you can get is interactable or interactive for the animals.
That's cool.
And there's hundreds of items that they can use. There was a Pokemon event in Pocket Camp, and one of the items was a gigantic Eevee. Did you say a
Pokemon event?
Yeah. So one of the items you could get in this Pokemon event in Pocket Camp was a giant Eevee plush. Like, when I say giant, 5 times bigger than an animal. Like, massive.
And you can put it compared to Godzilla?
What?
Like Godzilla?
Yeah, it's about the size of the Godzilla statue.
Wow.
So, randomly, when you walk in your
town... Gigantamax.
Pretty much. But randomly, when you walk in your town, one of your animals is on top of it, just squeezing it and hugging it.
Yes.
It's adorable.
That is, like, ridiculously charming.
Yeah. So I'd like to see more of that. And this is going to sound like blasphemy to a certain degree, but you could throw some of the games from Amiibo Festival into this game. Like the Deserted Island Escape.
That was fun. They added it to New
Leaf. Fun game. Is it worth $60 on its own? No. But throw it into this game and let me do something with my villagers or my guests, anybody. So, again, I don't want this to be like a bashing Animal Crossing episode because I'm not.
No, we both like it. We just wish there was more.
Yeah. So, that's
my thought. Shout out to my boy Dom, though. My boy Dom, my original villager, my pink ram. That guy, he's like, hey, I got something for you. And he keeps giving me all this sporting equipment.
Yeah.
And he came up to me, he's like, you know what? You need a nickname. I'm going to call you Iron T. I was like, yes. Yeah, like you are, buddy. Iron T. All right.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I have no fancy nicknames from any of my my townsfolk yet.
Sadly. I did get the perfect first villager. I judged him by his tie-dye shirt and his pink horns. And, you know, he's now my best bud. I hate everyone else, though. They can just go.
Yeah. My daughter has gotten into the habit of hitting people she doesn't like with a net. I'm trying to teach her tolerance for the villagers she doesn't like to a certain degree. But at the same time, too, I've done the same thing. So it's hard for me to say anything.
Yeah. I think what I need to unlock the next level of enjoyment is that pitfall recipe.
Yeah.
So you know what? On that topic, I know we said we weren't going to bash anymore. I hate the way that they distribute recipes.
Yeah.
I despise it. I wish that there was some proactive way that if you want a certain recipe, you could accomplish a certain thing. Like, I wish the recipes were hidden behind the Nook Miles where, hey, you just caught 100 fish, fishing master. Here is a special DIY recipe. Because then you could do something to get what you want.
Yeah.
Where right now it's so random.
Pure random.
Where I see friends who have stuff and I'm like, oh, I want that. How do I get that? They're like, oh, I got that out of a balloon or I got that out of a bottle or I dug that out of a hole or whatever the case is. And it is obnoxious, just downright obnoxious because you see things that you want to get and there's no way to do it. You can't even teach. I wish that you could at least teach people a recipe so that when you're in a town with multiple people, one person gets it. You could, hey, should I? Villagers can do it. The villagers in the town can teach you how to do certain recipes if you happen to catch them while they're crafting something.
Yeah.
Why can you not do that with, like, across the board with human players?
Would be
nice. Somebody has a recipe you want, they teach you that recipe, boom, now all of a sudden you can make it. Then it would make going to other people's town even more fun or visiting other people's towns more fun. Oh, what recipes do you have? Now it's like, can you please craft me this thing that I can only have one time now because I don't have the recipe and I may never get it because there's thousands of them. Yeah. And
then half the time, if it's an item like a tool, it breaks and you need to get it again. The only way around that is to customize it before it breaks and then it puts it back at 100%.
Yeah. And I have gotten bamboo shelf more times than every other DIY recipe that I've gotten in the entire game combined.
Yeah.
So I could almost just predictively assume that if I get something out of a balloon, it's a bamboo shelf.
Yeah.
I'm fed up with that to the point where I actually think that's a big flaw of the game.
Yeah.
That you got all these recipes. Why am I getting the same one over and over again? Come on now.
Agreed.
Give me some awesome stuff, please. Give me some pitfall seeds.
We need to have an Animal Crossing rant on every episode. With Nintendo's release schedule, we might have to.
Yeah, it seems like
this is it. This is the podcast from this point on.
Yeah, and through no fault of Nintendo's, it's just the world we live in now. Things are going to slow down a little bit.
Very true. I mean, we made it 50 minutes into this podcast. So, I mean, we got through quite a bit of stuff. So I guess I should ask you at this point, do you have any trivia? I mean, you know what? I know we have trivia today. I do want to quickly touch base on Amiibo real quick before you give me an Amiibo trivia. There was a patent that came out that Nintendo filed that was essentially Amiibo-based. After further inspection, it appears this patent is the exact same Amiibo patent that originally came out. They just renewed it. So I'm not seeing anything overly new here, but hey, Nintendo renewed an Amiibo patent. That's not a bad thing. Amiibo cards are getting re-released in Japan, which again is not a bad thing. But we're still waiting for any other, like, just ounce of data or information on any of the Smash DLC fighters. So yeah. I'm still waiting. I just want to point out, I'm still waiting.
Yeah. I said it before, if we don't get some kind of thing in June, I'm reaching Amiibo Jason levels of paranoia.
Yep, I'm panicking. I'm going to be contacting you to essentially just customize all of the rest of them for me.
Oh, man.
I already have the Banjo-Kazooie, which I took one of those Totaku characters.
That's perfect, too.
I mean, it fit perfectly. So I'm good, at least on that front.
Yeah, those other ones, they're pretty tough. Some hard ones in there.
Yep.
Well, I guess you can make Terry out of Ken or Ryu.
Yeah, that's doable.
Ken pretty easily. Terry's not too bad. But Joker, I don't want to do that. I don't want to touch that one at all.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I do have an Amiibo challenge for you.
Let's do it.
This one, I'm hoping isn't too unfair. I'll precursor it by saying this trivia question relates only to figures,
okay.
So you can put cards or any other form that they may have taken cereal boxes out of your mind.
Got it.
This is
pure figures only.
Pure figures. Now, Amiibo have a number of different series represented. Probably the most prolific being Smash Brothers, but
yes.
There's also like Mario and Splatoon, and even some very small lines that only receive two or a few figures. But there are, let me see, seven Amiibo figures that are part of their own series. They are one singular Amiibo representing that entire series. How many of those seven?
Wait, there's seven?
Yes.
Seven with only one figure.
Seven with only one figure.
Okay.
Some of them have their
own. So Mega Man is one.
Yeah, Mega Man 11, that's one.
Does Gold Mega Man count?
No, because technically he's Smash Brothers, even though that's stupid.
Okay. We have QB from Box Boy.
Yep.
That only had one.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm spacing.
I'll give you a clue.
No, wonderful. Don't yet. Not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
I'm not ready yet.
All right.
Not ready yet.
You got two.
I consider the 8-bit Marios to be part of the Mario line.
Yeah. They, and even if they weren't, technically there's two of them, so.
Yeah. Okay. I have a vision of all of these. Obviously, Splatoon has a load of them.
Yes.
Hey, okay. Hey, Pikmin has one.
Yes. Hey, Pikmin. You got that one.
Is it Hey, Pikmin? Is that what it's called?
It's just called Pikmin, and it's from the Pikmin series.
Yeah.
But
it came out when Hey, Pikmin came out.
And Hey, Pikmin is the game that it has its unique functionality in. So, yep, you got that one.
The Zelda amiibos are all part of the 30th anniversary, so those are out.
Yeah.
Mega Yarn Yoshi is part of the Yarn Yoshi collection, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not doing too bad. Got 3 out of 7.
No, that's bad. That's really bad. I'm embarrassed to a certain degree because. Oh,
no, you could do it. Put in your Amiibo thinking ground.
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. Yeah.
Got one.
Solaire of Astoria.
Yep. So that also has Loot Goblin.
Loot Goblin, yep.
So what does that leave me?
Diablo. That leaves you with 2 more.
There's 2 more.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you actually got what I would consider to be the harder ones.
Really? Those are the harder ones?
I think so. Because the third party ones were the ones that I think would throw me. But.
So then when it comes to first party, I'm trying to think of ones that got a one-off amiibo. And I'm struggling to think what they are. I need a hint.
All right. So this one of them was a pack-in with a 3DS game.
Oh, Chibi-Robo.
Yep. You have 800 of those, don't you?
I do. I was giving them to neighborhood kids for a bit.
For Halloween.
I was buying them. I bought them for $1 a piece.
That's incredible. And then there's only one more, and I'm sure you know it.
Oh, I should have known Chibi-Robo. Disappointed.
This one... that's too much of a clue. I was going to give you a little bit of a pun, but then it would have just...
What system is it on?
Well, it's on 3DS.
Okay.
But I don't know that that's helpful.
It might be. Was it a pack-in with it?
I don't think so, because... I know you could buy it without it. I'm not sure if it also came in a version where you could get it with. I think it came out like way, way, way disconnected from the game itself. But I could be mistaken on that.
Yeah, I'm going to need more of a hint.
It is not the scale of your typical amiibo.
Oh, God, Detective Pikachu. I considered that to be a Pokemon amiibo.
I would have too. Yeah, again, actually, that's a tricky one.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I should have known that. I'm looking at one right now, too.
Yeah, I guess that is tricky, because Pokemon never got its own line.
Yeah.
But there are a few like outliers. Like, you have all the Smash ones. There's that one random Mewtwo card, which wasn't included in this, obviously. And then the Detective Pikachu.
Yeah. Now, this is a good indication of just how disconnected we are with amiibo releases. If you would ask me this a year ago, I never would have missed those. We are so disconnected from amiibo news, my brain is replacing amiibo knowledge with worthless otherworldly things. And I'm not happy with that.
I think you did pretty good.
Well,
you eventually
got
them all. I didn't have to tell you any. You just needed a little bit of a nudge in the right direction.
That was a good one. It was a good one.
Yeah, maybe Pikachu was the hardest because there are other Pokemon amiibo.
I spaced on that one, man. You know, it's one of those things, too, just speaking of, like, amiibo, that Nintendo decided to release one oversized figure, and that's it. It makes no sense.
Huh? Yeah. I wonder what they were going for with that.
Or if somebody accidentally, instead of measuring in millimeters, measured in inches and sent it off to the plant, and they're like, oh, God, what have we done? We got to sell these things.
Yeah, I don't have 100%. Complete collection, nor have I ever really been striving for one. Like, I don't have QB, and there's a few other ones. I don't have any of the Monster Hunter Stories ones. And I was definitely going to take a pass on Detective Pikachu because I just couldn't think of any reason to have it. And then, like, randomly, Best Buy sent me these coupons for Gamers Club or something where they were going to expire and I had to buy something. There was nothing I wanted. So I wound up buying Detective Pikachu amiibo. And I just think, why? Like, I would actually, I would like it.
Like this, if somebody broke in, I could easily grab it, buy this. It's a heavy sucker.
It is. It's just so, It's too big to be allowed. I would have enjoyed it a lot more, I think, if it was in scale with the rest of the amiibo.
Yeah.
And it's so unscannable. Like, it's impractical to even scan because it's bigger than the entire surface of a 3DS. Yeah. And I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think I tried to scan it into Smash Brothers, and it's not recognized as a Pikachu.
Really?
I have to go back to confirm if that's actually true. And I definitely did not try it on Switch. I tried it on Wii U and 3DS, and I remember being like downright offended.
Yeah.
That it wasn't still recognized as a Pikachu.
You know, I think this was just Nintendo messing around with what would sell. If it sold like absolutely insane, maybe we'd see more. But I guess it's nice to have something that's slightly different.
I disagree. I want something that's the same. I'm boring. I want it to be able to fit on the shelf with the rest of them.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, what do I do with this big thing?
Yeah. I mean, I converted that giant Luigi's Mansion statue into an amiibo, though, so...
Well, so you're starting to make an oversized amiibo collection, which is
sort of
awesome.
To a certain degree.
Do that with your Zelda figure, too.
You know, I just might. TJ, where can the good folks at home find you?
Well,
you can see I'm putting an end to this podcast right now.
I have been somewhat slow on the content creation, but you can check out any of my already existing content. And leave some comments, interact with me on YouTube, on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel, or check me out on Twitter at Custom Conquest.
You can also find me at the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel, where views are up and revenue is way, way down. Thank you, COVID-19. Appreciate that. But views are up by like 50%, revenue's down by 40%. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. It is what it is. I don't obviously do it for the money, but it helps to a certain level,
yeah,
especially when I'm putting a huge amount of time into it.
Yeah, the algorithms have not been creator friendly,
no,
to say the least.
I think a lot of people are home. There's a lot of content creators out there now, and we're in a very, very big pool of content creators. But there's some fantastic content creators who don't have a 20th of the viewership that we do. So I'm very, very happy that we're past the 105,000 subscriber mark.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty stoked about that. But yeah, you can find me on YouTube. I'm less active on my personal Twitter account, but I occasionally post pictures of my collections. I used to do it for game hunting, but that's obviously not happening right now. But that is at AmiiboJason. And of course, I'm over at NintendoWire.com all the time. We are pumping out the content faster than we ever have, so check that out. TJ, I appreciate the questions today. I appreciate the time you spent. Until next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.